suffices for us to be able to engage adequately with the issues expected of us. So that's what we have for today. Today, as I said, being our last committee day before we rise tomorrow, it's election time, and the winner, the best shall be the winner. And the best shall be the winner. It's an election that has taken so much interest on a number of us out there in society. Others are being petitioned already not to be allowed to vote, or rather to be campaigning as a political party. And others are already being taken to election court or electoral court. It's going to be quite an interesting election, I must say. But I do know what the people of South Africa want. They want those that work. They want those that improve their lives. We all do know who those are, don't we? Don't we? Mr. Hugo. Members, we have also extended an invitation to the army, which is involved together with Randwater in the vow and trying to sort out the situation there. We've been there, Sebokeng, and saw the state of affairs of that wastewater treatment plant and all of those modules there, working and not working. So we have a program today that shall start with Bloemwater and followed by Sedibeng and lastly by Randwater. And then thereafter we have our own administrative issues to deal with. If there is nothing else from members, Mr. Hugo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Passon is just running late, but he said he will join us a bit later.
Thanks for that, Mr. Hugo. Any further comments? We're fine. We can start. Meeting is supposed to have started at 8:30. It's fine with those few remarks, at least we are covered. I see a hand at the back there.
Yes, Chairperson, we are from Ekurhuleni, and I didn't hear you making mention of Ekurhuleni Metropolitan Council.
Thanks, ma'am, for that. Perhaps that gives us an opportunity to get a sense as to which other municipalities are here. Ekurhuleni has already pronounce itself. Any other municipalities that are here? I do know for a fact that in Gauteng, the municipalities concerned that were petitioned on is among others Ekurhuleni. I can't remember the other one. What is the other one? Is that the only municipality at Ekurhuleni? Randwater? Is that the only municipality in Gauteng that has been petitioned on? Okay. Thanks, Kuluni. Welcome. The reason why we invited you is to avoid a situation where we talk about you without being here, so that you yourselves equally are able to respond to the issues petitioned on. So just to put it in the context. Okay, members, without waste of time, we shall immediately take through with the department. We don't have the minister. We don't have the deputy minister. We don't have the acting DG. I don't know whom do we have here, because we never received any apology from both the minister and also the acting DG. We did not receive any apologies.
DG, we apologize if you have not received the apology from the deputy, from the acting director general. She has dedicated me to the acting DG. But the letter was sent. I have it here. Joy will see to it that that is the issue. Chair, I'm not. If you allow me.
We did not receive that correspondence.
Joy? We first have to be apologized.
Sorry?
We apologize.
I can't hear you.
We are apologizing for that, Chair. The letter we have. From
the letter will follow.
Of apology from the acting director general.
From the IT?
From the acting director general.
Oh. So as we speak now, we do not have an apology from the acting DG. Officially. That's what we have as we speak now. Okay. Okay, on that wrong note, let us start with our meeting. Assuming that you are assigned. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chair, and I will not waste time because we have got a lot of a whole list of issues to address to. As I've requested, shall we, through your permission, start with Blue Water straight away, and also mention that we have Brigadier Mtanjane and Colonel Mahaba who will also be part of the presentation going forward. So if you allow us, please let's start with Blue Water. Thank you.
We had tabled the program that we have Bloomwater, Citibank, and Runwater. That's the program that we're following. Welcome, Deputy Minister. Thank you. Your acting DG has just mentioned that we are okay, having to start with our meeting. You do acknowledge that we did not receive any apology from the acting DG. You are joining us as we are starting with the first water board, that is Bloomwater. Without waste of time, we shall then have to go through to the promoter board. The chair is here.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, members of portfolio committee, my colleagues, and the deputy minister. Of course, it's a pleasure that we have been invited to come and be part of this delegation of the presentation and appraisal of the annual report of promoter, and to indicate that as we have been having this unqualified report for the past 5 years, and me as the chairperson and obviously with my fellow colleagues, other board members who are not here, including the management of staff, I need to extend my gratitude to them for the sterling work that they have done. While the chief executive will be sharing the direct operation as tabled in the annual report, Chair, I'm just giving you the snapshot of the role of the board in ensuring the oversight and exercising fiduciary duties over Bloomwater. The board has participated in a number of interactions with shareholders and the stakeholders with the aim of ensuring that the mandate of Bloomwater is aligned with the strategic objectives of the shareholder and the NDP while addressing the needs and the challenges faced by the stakeholders and vice versa. The devastating impact of the climate change and global warming, which has led to water restrictions, has not deterred Bluewater from operating to the maximum best. During the year under review, the entity has achieved almost all its objectives, specifically water quality and ensuring sustainable supply to its clients. And it has also been recognized internationally through three awards that were obviously given to us as Bluewater. The most challenging part, Chair, has been the debtor's position, where we all know that the municipality are not paying. And constitutionally, we still have to give them a certain percentage of water, but unfortunately, some of them cannot even pay a quarter of their current account. And initially, they would pay, for instance, when they get their grants, but of late, it has become so difficult that they are not paying at all. And this also has actually impacted on our CAPEX program, because now certain projections that were made in terms of how much we are going to get, based on that, we then develop programs of maintenance. We can't carry out those maintenance because of a lack of payment for municipalities. But I need to indicate here that we are still surviving despite all what is happening. The ongoing drought is also threatening the availability of resources, especially from Caledon River, which is challenged by siltation. So here we have got a very serious situation in the area of Bloemfontein, Botshabelo, and Tabanchu, where our only source of water is the Caledon River, but it's so silted that it's becoming very impossible to actually get water. And if we don't obviously come up with a solution or an option on how to get water from Harib Dam, in the next 5 to 10 years, we'd have serious issues in terms of supplying water in those areas. So, Chair, this brings me to a situation where that we have been saying to the department that we need to expedite a pipeline that has to move from Harib Dam to Mangawu. That is the only solution to address the problems that we're actually experiencing. And that would obviously be catastrophic if not been attended to in the next 3, 4, 5 years. So, Chair, it's one of those things that obviously now that we see ESCOM is battling with. And if we don't do that, we'd also face the same problems. We need to address and give attention the pipeline from to Mangawu. Bluewater, Chair, has had an opportunity of interacting with the National Council of Provinces, where two parliament to the people within the area of its water supply. And as a result of this engagement, the minister encouraged the continued engagement through provincial integrated water planning, where meetings are led by the Office of the Premier and that of COGDA. And in addition to this meeting, the entity has participated in the Catchment Management Agency forums as well as regional reconciliation steering committees, whose basis of engagements are to address all water-related challenges, including the licensing as well as the debt and municipal payments. The entity appreciates the interventions made by the shareholder in addressing the challenges faced by the entity. The board undertakes to ensure that the entity participates on its initiated implementation programs aligned with service delivery. And we also took an initiative, Chair, that we should actually generate our own energy, in this case electricity, where we have got one already operating in our headquarters, and we are saving 100,000 per month of electricity because we have got that hydropower station. And we have now now initiated a feasibility study to extend it also to the regional offices to make sure that Bluewater on its own has got its own generation of electricity. And then obviously we would save a lot of money, obviously taking the current situation that we have in the country. I think Bluewater is also doing good in terms of doing that. Chair, I would not obviously get to the details, but then I would, through your permission, ask that the CE deal with the presentation as a whole, and then we can deal with it later if there are questions that need to be attended to. Thank you.
So those would be your highlights. And any lowlights?
I think I mentioned both highlights and lowlights.
Okay, those I guess would come in the course of discussion. The chief executive of promoter. You did not introduce yourself, sir.
Oh.
We do this often.
Well, sir, I wasn't.
Until we are out of here.
It was just an issue of legitimacy, Chair. That's why I didn't introduce myself. I wasn't sure whether I was still a board member or what, but Nadine Gugu told me that I'm still one. So, Chair, my name is Kifezo Fitsane, the chairperson of Blue Water. So, my apologies for that uncertainty, Chair. I couldn't help it. It was an issue of complex.
Thank you, sir. Madam?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and deputy minister colleagues. My name is Dimakaso Morosi. I'm the chief executive of Blue Water. I'm going to continue from where the chairperson has already taken. There is a long list of contents. However, I have just summarized it here with my presentation to say that all these issues of contents will deal with overview of Blue Water, infrastructure development, operation and maintenance, human resource and corporate support. I'll also look at overview of the financial performance. The CFO is here with me. He will deal with that one. I then will refer to the challenges and conclusions. As we all know, that in the country, all the water boards are established in terms of Water Services Act of 1997, of which Blue Water was also established in 1991. Our vision is to assure that we provide sustainable quality water services for life, and we are aspiring to create a leading, value-driven, effective and responsible institution. Of the Water Services Act, one clause that is very, very important there for all the water boards is to make sure that we provide water services to other water institutions such as municipality within the area of supply. The strategic objectives of Blue Water is to develop, operate, and maintain infrastructure in order to ensure sustainable water service delivery, manage financial assets to meet current and future obligations, secure the supply and quality of raw water resources, achieving an aligned, effective and efficient institution, and lastly, to engage in strategic partnership with all the relevant stakeholders. It has therefore to be noted that all these strategic objectives are linked with the outcomes of the department and also with the national development plan. Blue Water Services three municipalities, including the only metro of the province, which is Mangaung Metro. We also service Kopanong local municipality and Mansopa local municipality, which are mostly at the central and southern area of the Free State. We also are participating as and when we are requested by the department to be an implementing agent of some of the projects. Currently, there is one that is still left at Kopanong local municipality. We are entirely servicing approximately 1.2 million population, which is mostly in the rural areas. And when it comes to infrastructure, Chairperson has already alluded to the issues of financial challenges. Despite all that, we have managed to implement 17 projects with a total budget of 177 million. Of the 17 projects, 8 is for infrastructure extension, while 9 is for refurbishment. We have managed to complete 3 of them, while the rest, which is 14 in this case, are the multi-year projects, and they are in different stages of completion. These projects have managed to create 560 temporary jobs, of which we are proud. These are the projects, I'm highlighting the project that we have completed. There is one which is 15 kilometer long. It is called Rasfontein to Lesaka project, which is aimed to increase water supply to the whole metro, specifically to Tabanj, which are rural areas. We have also constructed 3 megaliter reservoir, and this is in Tromsbeek, and this is the project that is funded by the department. There is also the one that has been completed from Velbedach Water Treatment Works, where we are installing cathodic protection in order to prevent corrosion of the pipeline. They are also, as the chairperson has alluded, we are very grateful with the support that we get from the shareholders. There are actually two projects that we have received a directive, where the first one is a 33.7 kilometer steel pipe. This is a pipeline, a main pipeline to servicing Bloemfontein that is forever giving problems, because this pipeline is plus minus 40 years old. So it is always now and then giving problems, and the department then decided to give a directive and then fund the 33 kilometer, that is the phase one of this project, with 500 million. The duration of this project is expected to be 24 months, and it is already ongoing now. We expect that when we go to the phase two, the department will also be that generous and fund the phase two of this project. Because these are our very, very important main line. Because once this main line burst, the whole metro, including adjacent communities, are always in trouble. So the second one is the one that Chairperson has alluded to, which is a Harit pipeline. The department funded the pre-feasibility study last 3 years, and they are currently funding. We have been instructed to commence with the detailed feasibility study, which has not yet commenced, and it is expected to last for 16 months. I would like to emphasize on this project of Harry Pipeline, Chairperson, even though my chairperson has already talked about it, who is the current status of drought and the siltation, as alluded to. There is no other solution except to embark on this pipeline. Even though the estimated cost of this pipeline is going to be 5 billion, we believe that if it is done in phases, it will be achievable. Dumata is very proud of its maintenance progress. We have what you call a preventative maintenance strategy, and we consult with the municipality. It is normally done once a year during winter. So all our maintenance programs are normally discussed with our clients and then are normally carried out very successfully. So in the course of the normal operations, as I already mentioned, during this year under review, we had 3 major pipe bursts. As I've already said, that this pipeline is more than 40 years old, and we then had to establish a pipeline reaction team that is, even when there are this kind of burst, it is attended to successfully so that we can prevent further disruption of water supply to the communities. We also pride ourselves with supplying or providing excellent water quality, and we have this agreement with the University of the Free State, whereby the lab of the university test our water, and so far, especially during this year under review, we have achieved 99% of water quality. Having talked about the pipeline that is 40 years old, we also saw it fit to develop or to establish manufacturing workshop, which is now and then, even when they are best, we do our own pipeline components. We manufacture our own pipeline components, so that we don't have to, as and when they are pipe best, we don't have to go around. We do our own maintenance in the region through this manufacturing workshop that is recently being established. As and when required to do so by our client, which is municipality in this case, Blue Motor offers technical support to the municipality. This is the pipeline I was referring to, and this is when the pipeline reaction team is attending to the main line that is forever bursting due to the aging. And the workshop that I've been referring to, where we manufacture our own pipeline components, is here. And then the water quality, we refer to the siltation from Caledon, and this is when the water is being processed. Blue Mortar is all the, our plants. We have three plants in Blue Mortar, and they are, all of them are equipped with automation systems to enable smooth operation, proactive warning, especially time saving and traveling of the officials. The systems are, are continuously being updated. This is a program of the board to the schools in the area that we service. We call it school hygiene and school health and hygiene, which started in 2010 to date. We are doing it specifically to the areas of supply. So far, more than 136 schools have benefited from this program. You would see on the picture there that when we go and assess the schools, this is the situation that we find on the before picture. And what we do there, we renovate, we repair the water leakages, plumbing work is done, and all the water and sanitation related repairs. Thereafter, we then supply cleaning material to the schools, and as requested by the portfolio committee last year, we are continuing with sanitary towels. So far, the school, we are currently implementing this project in 54 schools. So you see this picture, Chairperson. These are the schools. This is the condition under which our children are studying. But then after Blue Mortar has come in, we leave it as clean, as renovated, as attended to. However, when you go there the following year, you find that this situation has gone back to square one, because once Blue Mortar gets off the school committee is not taking case, does not continue. Hence, we resorted in program that we call health and hygiene program during toilet day, whereby these schools that we have attended to, they compete, and once they compete, you will see that picture that says there is the first school there and the second school that has gone. We supply that school with a year's supply of cleaning material so that they are able to continue the initiative that Blue Mortar has taken. We also supply them with toilet paper and sanitizer. In fact, this kind of program has enabled the school to continue and maintain the standard as we have left it as Blue Mortar. So we do it every year, once every year, especially during World Toilet Day, to also conscientize the schools and the principals and the school boards that the children should learn under normal conditions. One program under corporate social investment that we have started embarking on is on environmental management. As Blue Mortar, we also subscribe to environmental management, and we do that through cleaning of the river campaign. This is the river in Mangaung that you see on picture here. We started this river from up there in Fixbeck, along the border of Lesotho. Chairperson, this is a Caledon River, where both citizens, that is the Lesotho and South African citizens, are throwing all this kind of garbage that we see here into the river. It's so pathetic that it requires all of us, not to do it only on Mandela Day, to come together, both countries, and make awareness campaigns to the citizens not to throw pampas and all the other objects that we see in the rivers. So the very first one has already been embarked on between Mangaung and Blue Mortar, where, as you can see, that we are busy cleaning the river, and we call it Clean the River Campaign. We also have had a very long relationship with the Northern Region Water Board in Malawi. This relationship started in 1998 through a Norwegian program that is called Fresco Program. The aim there was to ensure that we increase capacity of both institutions through staff exchange program, in operations, ICT, and finance. We also both boards, they normally engage on strategic engagement. Recently, that is the picture of our chairperson, Mr. Pitsani, who is the president of Malawi. We were invited by Northern Region Water Board when they were launching and commissioning their biggest water treatment works. So this relationship is very important, chairperson. Continuously, two boards visit one another, and professional people come also to do exchange program where we both learn from one another. With regard to corporate governance, the entities run through a high level of corporate governance. We pride ourselves with that, and during the year under review, the board continue to comply with relevant legislation, and they continue to monitor strategic directions through its board committees. Of high light is when the Minister of Water and Sanitation visits Mangaung to ensure that as a province we operate through integrated water planning. And through that, two committees were formed. The first committee that is being chaired by the MEC of COPTA and the Office of the Premier, and the second one is being chaired by the Regional Office of Water and Sanitation in the Free State. We continue to develop our officials. This is the picture where we are developing our officials through skills development, also through wellness. We believe they go together. Here, Blue Motor was participating in Zone 6 SADC. This is all water boards from SADC. They normally have Easter games once a year, so this one took place in Botswana last year. Currently, Blue Motor is hosting the Zone 6 this year during Easter. We therefore have achieved 74% of training of our personnel, and we emphasize mostly on the technical personnel. Chairperson, we are now going to give over to the CFO to talk to the matters of finance. I think, as the chairperson has alluded to, it is important to emphasize for that for the past 6 years, we receive unqualified reports with no matters. It's only this year of 2017 where, even though we received unqualified reports, there were matters of emphasis that the CFO is going to talk to. Thank you very much.
Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, Chairperson and members, my name is Okie Stadler, as mentioned, CFO. The C and the Chairperson has indicated that we received unqualified audits for a number of years. The opinion of the financial statements fairly presents a financial position. There were, however, a few matters. The first matter, and it was raised in the previous year as well, Chairperson also alluded to that, our trade receivables in terms of municipalities not paying. We followed diligent processes all along, mainly with the main impact is the Metro. During the period under review, it was not resolved. We're still continuing with processes as we stand. A few matters of emphasis that were raised. One was on a project that we have, a capital project, which there's possible fruitless and wasteful expenditure in terms of the AG. That still needed to be determined after year end. We followed due process in that regard to establish whether there has been fruitless or wasteful expenditure. There's been remedial work done on a project. We unfortunately had one project which was we received irregular expenditure of 1.1 million. We exceeded the limits in terms of instruction number 3 of a contract, and it's related to IT. At the time, just to make the point, the former minister had a restriction on the appointments of staff. We did not have the capacity at the time to follow due process in terms of renewing a contract or go out on tender, and that led to exceeding the values in terms of that irregular expenditure. material impairments was also raised, and that related to the trade receivables in terms of the municipality's outstanding accounts. Just go to the next slide. Just on the statement of comprehensive income for the year, Bloomwater or the department has, during the period, had restrictions implemented on the drought. Up to October 2017, the restriction was 30%, and then November 17 onwards, reduced to 20%. So that impacted on the revenue and also related to the expenditure in terms of operation and maintenance. You'll find that there's been an increase in the revenue from the 17 to 18 period. The last number of years when the drought was proclaimed, Bloomwater, we followed due process and we implemented, with the minister's approval, a drought tariff, and that ensured that our revenue stream is able to cover our overhead cost mainly. The water abstraction cost, you'll find that there's quite an increase. Grootehoek Dam was empty for 3 years, and in April 2018, it rained, and there was enough water that we could re-operationalize the treatment plant at Grootehoek Dam. However, the cost associated for the raw water charges is substantially higher than the other sources, and I'm saying 3 rand compared to 25 cent at other sources, but we, due to the shortage of water in the area, you have to use that, so that you can find that there's an increase quite substantial from the previous year in terms of the cost. I think just to touch on depreciation, the impact that the non-payment of by municipalities or slow payment or irregular payment, your planning wasn't as anticipated in terms of your budget, and it mainly goes along with your loan requirements to borrow and to fund your CAPEX requirements. You'll find that the depreciation is really on the existing infrastructure and loan obligations, but we were unable, especially during that year, to fund our CAPEX as our chairperson has mentioned. The rest of the operational expenditure was in line with the volumes that were abstracted and treated and distributed. Maybe the impairment of trade receivables of note, it increased from 246 million to 296.7 million. Quite a serious impact for Bloomwater. That must somehow be addressed going forward, and we fight this diligently with following due process like Section 44 MFMA. Just to note, and it's after year event, that we have had mediation with National Treasury on the Metro now quite recently, so there's quite a lot on the go. Maybe just the finance income looks very nice, 96 million, which is interest, but it's interest charged to municipalities. We know that they don't pay, normally wouldn't pay the interest, so that would be impaired as time goes along. Highly likely that we should impair. The finance cost is aligned to the loans and repayment of loans. The year resulted in a surplus of 51 million. What I should mention is that the payment plans by specifically the Metro during the period that they complied with payment plans and paid historic accounts while they were struggling to pay the current accounts. So it improved the position at year end, therefore the surplus of 51 million rand, but it's the irregular payments, etc., has got a serious impact on our forecasts and the way in which how we operate. If we just look at the statement of financial position, assets, property, plant and equipment, we have planned more projects, but due to, as I mentioned, the payment environment, you were not quite able to fulfill your role on the bigger projects. Defined benefit assets, there is a 64 million. It shows that our pension fund is in good shape at the moment, and we hope to continue with that. The current assets, what I mentioned earlier on trade and other receivables is that the impairment is done, payments on historic accounts were made, and therefore you'll find under the cash and cash equivalent position there's somewhat of an improvement, but it's still insufficient to enable us to continue with bigger projects and fund it. Probably the last one, infrastructure project receivable at the year end, it was the bucket eradication, but that has been resolved and paid by the department. If we can turn the page, equity, just maybe one there to mention that the assets, DWS Reserve Fund, assets were transferred to Bloemwater years ago from the department. It's a non-distributable reserve, and the board said it's not applicable, and therefore the board ruled that it should be transferred to the accumulated profit, so therefore that movement in that category. Non-current liabilities, interest-bearing borrowings, it's related to existing loan repayments. We were hoping that we would be in an efficient position during the year to fulfill more CAPEX obligations, but we were unable to do so. Deferred income, that's the grants that we are talking about for the capital projects, steel pipeline, Rustenburg-Chabela pipeline, and smaller other Department of Water and Sanitation funded projects. Probably the last line there, trade and other payables, which is provision on CAPEX, the department's projects, ESCOM, etc. Quite a big number. If we can turn the page, the ratios, current, just highlighted a few, the current ratio is still above the norm, 2.32. However, if we look at the cash at year end, 228 million, although committed project is 111 million, our operational cost is close to 50 million rand a month, so we are straight in terms of that. So if you commit, pay your projects tomorrow, you'll have 2 months of cash flow available. Debtor position somewhat improved, and it's mostly because of the payment plan by the Metro and paying the arrear accounts. But that has not improved better than that subsequently. Indicators of the financial actions, I mentioned most of them. I think what needs to be mentioned is that really the sales volumes and revenue is below the budget, and it's related to the drought, also non-payment. We did cost cutting, we reprioritized to fit in with our cash flow environment. So there's still a continued solvency concern, as indicated by the AG. Liquidity as well. Debtor's position worsened in the sense that you are supposed to get your money and be able to do what you are, to do your projects and operate optimally. So in that sense, the debtor's position worsened, which goes along with the cash position. We know that the cash is more, but it worsened overall, so that you aren't able to do all of what you wanted to in terms of your budget. The debt ratios remained high and still within the limit set by National Treasury. And I mentioned just on the, during the discussion, the inability to operate in accordance with the approved budgets, tariffs, CAPEX requirements, and funding. The financial statements have been prepared in accordance with the SA GAAP. Just to mention that the next financial year, the board decided to move to GRAB as required, and that has been completed in terms of the formats for the previous financial year as well. If we turn the page to unauthorized expenditure, nothing last year. I spoke about the irregular of the 1.1 million project, and then on fruitless and wasteful expenditure, also zero. It's unfortunate for us to have picked up this irregular expenditure. And Chief, I may hand back to the CE for the final slide. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In concluding, we would like to say, as much as we have already alluded to the challenges that we have, this one of the ability to fund current and future projects is a serious one, because in as much as we may have planned for CAPEX, if we don't get payment from our clients, especially the metro, it negatively impacts on the future planning of infrastructure. And we really, as I'm talking now, the metro has not addressed its current account since December. So already December, January, February, we have not received a current account payment, which is already going to impede, affect the coming financial year. The issue of Kopanong, we have reached a point where both parties, including the province, have agreed that there isn't really much we can do. We are sitting at plus minus 300 million with Kopanong local municipality, and the problems that the municipality is currently facing can clearly show us that we are in no way near resolving this matter with Kopanong. Yes, we are expected to continuously providing water. The water to Kopanong has been reduced to 30% as per agreement with the council and the board. Even the current account that is plus minus 3 million, they are unable to pay. They have resolved to pay 200,000 every month. So we have reached a point whereby Costa has tried to come in, but I think the issue of the municipality is beyond the water board. It's the issue that should really be looked at national level by Costa perhaps. We are also still confronted by the continuing drought. I have shown the picture of our aging infrastructure, and we are grateful that the department came to our aid on this main line that we so much depend on. And we would like to appeal that going forward, the phase two of this pipeline be continuously financed by the department. We have already talked to the under recovery and the deposition. The issue of siltation remains unresolved. And however, we are in current talks with Water Research Council and the Department of Water and Sanitation, because we have been informed that it's a structural issue of the river coming from Lesotho down to where we are. So we are waiting for the research to be completed so that we can take forward the recommendation on what is it that we can going to do with the situation in Caledon. With that, I would like to thank you very much, because that conclusion will be the repetition of what I've already talked about. Thank you, Chair.
Welcome, Minister. Your office did not give any apology about your whereabouts. Your office. They did not do that. But welcome. Members, that is your plume water. My suggestion, members, would be that we take two at a go. We don't engage with plume water. Rather, we take Citibank in the interest of time. We take as much notes as we can, and then allow Citibank to come through, and then engage with the two submissions. The same would then have to happen with rainwater and the army. There is a close correlation between the two respective water boards. That's the basis in which I'm proposing that we rather, instead of engaging with one and take, as you all know, members, would really go at length with our engagements. If that is fine, we shall then allow Citibank. Are we okay with that?
Yeah, Chairman, I think we are
fine with you.
It's fine.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Ms. Citibank shall then have to come through. Minister, you shall then have to take us through on Citibank, lead us in that direction.
Thanks, Chairperson. And
are
thanks,
you the Minister. Are you the Minister? Oh, sorry. Thank you, sir. Minister.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Chairperson and teams. Thank you very much. Chair, the reason they did not say is because I arrived early.
Oh.
And then I was handling some matters that relate to the boards. Because this is our last, just to request the president to accept tomorrow the board members. So I was busy with that. That's why they knew I was here. So I'll join. And remember, today is also this cabinet committee today at 10. So I've been doing work. Sorry for arriving late. The one of them is Citibank board. We're trying to get Citibank board to be appointed during this next week, but we're still trying to get them to get their submission in terms of recommendation. I will deal with it after this. With them. I heard the chairperson's voice behind me. Chair, this is a. I might just comment first of all to say these boards, the good thing about these boards is that is the interaction both this board, Citibank and Bloomwater. Bloomwater, we just concluded that's been approved by cabinet. The board, the new board for I'm just taking advantage here, that for Bloomwater has been done. So we're just trying to sort out this one now. However, the work that they're doing as boards, as I said, the good thing about having a board where the chairperson can pick up the phone and say to you, this is the challenge that we're faced with. It's easy for us as well from where we sit to communicate with the leadership of these boards. That makes things easy for us to then say confidently that we have a good working relationship and we understand the challenges they are faced with because they communicate. So, Chairperson, I'm keen to hear what is coming out of the report. The challenge of the why we're rushing on this thing of the board is because we want to sort out the challenge of the acting chief executive. So that we can have that stability, and we're trying to sort it out, to have it sorted out as soon as possible, possibly in the next couple of weeks. Chair, thanks very much. I'm keen to hear what goes on as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister, and thanks for also clarity on the earlier point about your office having not communicated with us. Okay, Water Board, Sidibe. Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Our Portfolio Committee, our father and mother who act in water and sanitation affairs. My name is Matsidisho David Dikoko. I'm the current chairperson of the board. With me, I'm having the acting CE, Rem Kubung, and the CFO, Mpinani Shasha. Chair, our presentation.
Where are they?
Oh, Kubung and Shasha, sorry, Chair. By way of an introduction, I think I will skip that slide, area that slide. The purpose of our presentation today is purely to present the annual report as requested, as well as to give overall performance against the predetermined objectives of Citibank and to provide the portfolio committee with information regarding the latest tariff determination in various areas of operation. Chair, without necessarily going into the details, but in order to locate Citibank, Citibank, its area of supply stretches after it was extended through a number of directives issued from about 86,000 square kilometers to about 100 square kilometers across the three provinces. We are having our operations in the Free State, of which I'll give the details of which areas in the Free State. We are also operating in Northwest as well as in the Northern Cape. In giving a sense of which areas in the Free State, we are operating in Nala local municipality, where the service that we are rendering is bulk, as well as Machabeng, our notorious municipality, where we are also providing bulk. In the Northern Cape, we are having about 7 municipalities. We are covering Tsantsabane, Gamagara, Dikgatlhong, Namakoi, Phokwana, as well Jomorolong, as well as Gasgonyan. And our last province where we are operating is in Northwest, where we are having Dr. Ruth as a, in the Dr. Ruth district, we are having Kagisano Molopo, Mamusa, Naledi, Taung. We are also handling Lekwatemani. And in Dr. KK, we are only having one municipality by the name of Makwasi Hills. And in Ngakamudiri Mulema, where most of our challenges, the DM was there now recently to put a bucket of water to go and deal with challenges that we are facing there. We are having areas of Mahikeng, Vichobota, Tswaying, Ramutsiri, as well as Ratu. The next slide is just an area of supply in a graphic things. Chair, in terms of corporate governance, that is just to illustrate where we are operating. I would, with regard to achievements, humbly plead that I hand over to the CE, acting CE, just to take us through that before the CFO can give us the details of our financial state of affairs. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Greetings to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mpite Mokubung. I'll continue where Chairperson of the Board has stopped. The achievements and challenges are in Citibank Water. During the financial year 2017 and 2018, in terms of financial viability and sustainability, costs were prudently managed and the organization is financially sound and viable at consolidated level. And revenue and surplus targets were exceeded in the financial year. In terms of operational process efficiency, total unaccounted water stands at 7.7% in the Free State and Northern Cape regions where we supply bulk water. And then we also met the SANS 2 for 1 plus 1 and 2 requirements. And then our average expenditure in terms of triple BEE stood at 87% at the end of the financial year. And then we also doing HIV AIDS programs in Sidibengota. The campaigns were undertaken throughout the whole organization, and voluntary counseling and testing is made available to all the employees. And then coming to the water quality achievements for the financial year, the laboratory at Bulkfontein maintained its accreditation status after being audited by SANAS, South African National Accreditation Standards. And then we conducted over 106,000 chemistry and 27,000 microbiology analysis in the financial year ended. And then in terms of the disabling injuries frequency rate, combining all the regions, that is the three provinces, Free State, Northern Cape and Northwest, we were below the two target, and then except only in the Northwest where we were at 2.12. And then in terms of CSI, or Corporate Social Investment Program, we've done water conservation awareness campaigns in partnerships with the Department of Water and Sanitation and also the municipalities in our area of operation. And then we, there were a number of schools, special needs and support centers who benefited from Sidibengota's CSI program. And then in terms of recruitment and development of employees, the internal bursary program approved a total of 73 bursaries split into 46 males and then 27 females. And then we also have learnership and apprenticeship programs. Learnership took 10 in the financial year, and then 12 for apprenticeship. And the people who benefited were mostly the unemployed youth in our areas of operation. Then in terms of developing employees further, in terms of skills training, 29 short courses, 3 professional conferences, and then in total, they benefited 412 employees. And then there is also a graduates program which enlisted 25 employees in the 2017-2018 period. And then in terms of the workplace skills plan and annual training report, this we've submitted to the EWCDA, and it was also approved. Our staff turnover at the end of the financial year, it stood at 4.4%. And the organization created a total of 86 combined permanent and contract jobs during the financial year. And then I'll hand over to, with your permission, sir, to the Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Mpinane Shasha, to take us through the overview of the financial performance.
Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, members of the Portfolio Committee, the Minister of Department of Water and Sanitation, the Deputy Minister, the Chairperson, Mr. Chikuko, the Chief Executive, my colleagues, I will give an overview of the financial performance of Sidibeng Water for the financial year 2017-18. Chair, I would like to start with the graphics, with the gross profit margins. We had a 39% gross profit margin in 2017, and we have improved by 2% to 2018 at 41%. We also can continue to the next one, which is the debt equity gearing ratio. Chair, over the past 5 years, we are well geared in terms of the financial statements. We can be able to borrow more from the markets and wherever. Chair, we also want to indicate that our profits for the current year, 2017-18, have dropped by 24%. And in the previous year, we had 80 million, and the current year, 2017-18, had 64 million. Chair, we want to indicate to you the various issues that arose in the previous financial year, that is 30 June 2018. The revenue, we have an improvement of 9% from 1.2 billion in the previous year to 1.4 billion in 2017-18. Our cost of sales also increased by 5% from the previous year, financial year. Other income, check, I want to emphasize that we had a method of accounting for other income on some of our projects that we are implementing agents for the department, and we had agreed with the Department of Water and Sanitation and the Auditor General that we should actually account for those differently. Therefore, in that accounting, there was a decrease of 36%, which we believe that it is the correct method of accounting that we have engaged. Chair, I would like to also get to the net finance income. If the finance charges, we had 60 million in the previous financial year. We had 50 million in the current year. These are the net finance charges. Chair, we want to indicate that the loans that we have repaying, we have repaid them in full in September 2017, and hence the improvement in the finance charges. The net surplus was 57 as against 74 million. We had fair value adjustments of 6 million in the current financial year compared to 2017. Our financial position, Chair, we want to indicate that our very threat that we are having is in the current assets, which is our debtors book. We will talk to the debtors book. It's actually sitting at about 3.9. In the current financial year, we want to actually improve that. We also have engaged with the municipalities. We have been doing restrictions, water flow restrictions. We also are involved in the IMTT, that is the Inter-Ministerial Task Team, that is chaired by Honorable Dr. Zweli Mkhize, the Minister of COGTA. And in that Inter-Ministerial Task Team, we have also the Minister of Water and Sanitation and the Minister of Finance who are involved. We also come to the funds and reserves. Chair, we are still sustainable. We are solvent. However, we can indicate that our liquidity issues are high due to non-payment by the municipalities. In terms of the non-current liabilities, we have an increase of 93%. This is as a result of the accounting of deferred income relating to the projects that the Department of Water and Sanitation is actually giving grants to us in terms of the ARPIC process. The current liabilities, Chair, I want to also emphasize that we owe the department about 2.2 billion due to non-payment by the municipalities, as the municipalities are owing us plus or minus 3.9 billion already. In terms of the financial ratios, which I want to highlight immediately, the gross profit margins, we had improved from the actual is 68% and the target was 66%. On the net profit percentage, the target was 9%. We achieved 9.9%. Current ratio 1.5 times, and we have achieved the ratio. Current return on assets, we also have achieved the ratio. Debtors days, Chair, as I indicated previously, we had a deficit of 635 days, and we have achieved 807 days. Chair, even the target is a target that is not a fair reflection of what should be happening in the normal trade of business. Normally, you would have a 30 days account, but with the municipalities, they owe us more than 4 years as we speak. We have entered into payment agreements with the municipalities, but they are still defaulting. And we had commenced the program of water restrictions on the non-paying municipalities. The process is yielding some results, however, very slow. Further, the acting director general of the Department of Water and Sanitation commenced with the intervention to assist the water boards to recover the debts. She has actually directed us to the IMTT. Ourselves and Brandwater are mostly in those meetings. Chair, the debt equity ratio, as I said, that one we have achieved the ratio. In terms of the expenditure, Chair, we want to indicate to the portfolio committee that our expenditure has followed the patterns of the water volumes. We have the raw water that has increased drastically from the target, as the target for the volumes and the revenue was achieved, was overachieved. Electricity cost, Chair, we have done some improvements there. We actually are doing time management. We are pumping when the costs are low, and we have a program together with ESCOM to deal with that. Purification costs, we are over by 12%. Chair, we want to indicate that that also depends on the markets and the exchange rate, which actually skyrocketed around November, December, and we actually are managing that. Depreciation also, Chair, it is based on the revaluation of the fixed assets which we did in the previous financial year and in 2017. The staff costs, Chair, we need to look at the staff costs in our organization. We have actually exceeded by 14%. Chair, we are looking at the issues that we had not provided in the budget, some of critical positions that are in operations, and we had to, as a matter of emergency, do the appointments. In terms of the provision for bad debts, Chair, we provided 23 million, and we had an agreement with the AG in terms of our calculations, and we all agreed that it is actually appropriate for the year to actually provide that. The overview of the audit report, Chair, we want to indicate that we had had before 2016-17 unqualified audit opinions. We have been audited by PwC previously, and immediately when we were audited by the AGSA from the 2017 financial year going forward, we have been receiving the qualified audit opinion, and Chair, I will also elaborate on the issues that were raised by the AG in terms of their qualification. The qualification points were as follows. It was on the debtor's book, which is we are looking at issues of contracts between ourselves and Ngakamudiri Molema on the operations and maintenance.
which we are also discussing with AG again in terms of the principles of accounting around the contract. We also had an issue around working progress, which we have actually addressed now. We are awaiting AG to come and audit that process of work in progress. We also had an issue around the debtors book in terms of the capital projects. That was addressed. The AG is coming to also audit that during interim in April. We also had issues around irregular expenditure, which I will go and talk to in the next slide. Chair, also on the predetermined objectives, there were some material findings which relates to technical definitions, non-agreements, which we had disagreements with AG, which we had, but we have agreed that we should sit during interim and make sure that our definitions are talking to our targets. In the irregular expenditure, Chair, we have a total of 229 million as opposed to 154 million in the previous financial year. These matters relate to a CIDB advertisements which were not done. And we are actually getting counsel from National Treasury in terms of how we should go about condoning that, and also how we should have the investigation has happened, and we need guidance from National Treasury on that matter. The other two matters relate to purification, which also the issues of investigation have been concluded, and we are seeking counsel from National Treasury as well as the Auditor General. In terms of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, also this was investigated. It relates to mostly Eskom. Eskom over time, when they actually pick up a point that was supposed to be yours, that they have not built. When they actually realize that, they bill you the whole amount that is outstanding for the last 10 years and immediately charge you interest, irrespective of whether it was their fault or not. So we are also negotiating. We believe that the officials are not involved in that process of Eskom not being able to give the bills on time. We also have the capital commitments. The capital commitments for 2016-17 were 1.3 billion, and for 2017-18, they are 920 million. This relates to the capital infrastructure projects that are still in place, and we have not yet spent at year end. The overview of the non-financial performance, Chair, in view of the slides, we have the alignment of the strategic objectives for the Department of Water and Sanitation and Sidibeng Water. We have, in terms of the MTSF, look at the 12 objectives, and from the 12 objectives, and we have the six that specifically addresses the issues which we are supporting the ministry on. And we, out of that, there are five strategic objectives from the constitution. And set below, it is our five specific ministerial outcomes that are expected to enhance quality and quantity of water resources, improve access to basic services, maintenance and supply of bulk water infrastructure, effective institutions to address government outcomes, cooperative governance mechanism designed to achieve government objectives. In terms of our Sidibeng Water, those are the department's, the department's objectives which we are feeding into.
So the Bank Water strategic objectives are as follows: appropriate treatment of water waste and supply of potable water, ensure viability and sustainability, create an environment that is conducive to the growth and retention of skills, effective and efficient communication, and ensure compliance to all legislation, policies, standards, and norms. The slide here shows the MTSF ministerial outcomes, strategic objectives of CDBM Water, alignment of the key activities, and the specific targets which we have in our shareholders' compact. In terms of the 2017-18, we have the following issues. 2017-18, we achieved 11 targets out of 21, partially achieved 4, 5 not achieved, 1 was not applicable. Chair, we want to move to the actual issues of performance, that is the graphics. On the quality, water quality compliance, we have achieved. Manage affordable water losses, the target was achieved. Reliability of supply, target was achieved. Increase in access to services, we have not achieved. The internal projects did not get funding as anticipated. Chair, this is a problem that is as a result of the non-payment by the municipalities. Bulk supply agreements, we have partially achieved. For municipalities, we have signed all the contracts. However, with the mines, we signed 91%. We are negotiating with the two mines. But with the mines, there is no challenge in terms of their payments, irrespective of the issues of the contract not yet being finalized. They are paying on a regular basis. The new ministerial directives in the year 2018, we did not receive any new directives from the ministry. Rural supply, we have exceeded our target. Achieve statutory reporting. Chair, we want to indicate that we have not achieved this due to internal issues. However, in the current year, we have an action plan to actually address the matter. Annual external audit, this has not been achieved. We have an action plan to deal with the issues of qualification for the 2018-19. Chair, I want to indicate that we did not have any repeat findings, and the findings which we had in the current financial year are much lesser than what we had in the previous financial year. In terms of the financial ratios, we had already dealt with these ones. Chair, if I, with your permission, I can skip this slide. On the repairs and maintenance, we also have achieved our target. In terms of the spending, as indicated, this spending is on the BEE. We also have not achieved. Our target was 95%. We achieved 87%. Chair, this is due to the fact that the smaller suppliers do not have their prerequisites that are normally required. However, as a result of that, we have taken action as CDBM Water to actually go to our areas of supply and actually teach and coach the BEE suppliers on how to actually quote and how to actually put the packages that are required. In terms of managing costs within the targets, that has been achieved. The capital expenditure we have not achieved. It is because mainly of the internal projects where we could not do any much work due to non-payment by the municipality. The engagement in secondary activities, Chair, the target was achieved. Board, the, in terms of there are two sub, in terms of attendance of the meeting, we had not achieved, it was 95.5%. We also, for the resolutions, we actually achieved 100% on this one. That is on the board effectiveness. On the internal controls and risk management, Chair, we did not get any repeat findings. However, we had the 7, which I have actually alluded to. The target was not achieved. This will actually be done through the interim audit, which will be conducted by AG in April. Good governance, the target was achieved in terms of corporate and good citizenship. We have actually achieved the target. And the staff levels, we have not achieved the target. Chair, we actually are enhancing our programs of the retention program for the professionals we have. And this is actually getting attention. On the skills and capacity building, we had a target of 60. And we achieved 0. The planned learnership program for certain training areas, electrical, welding, and waste treatment, could not be initiated because the discretionary grant application for this purpose was declined by EWCTA. HRC office is in process of realigning its budget to assess the possibility of implementing the learnership in the new financial year. We have actually decided that we are going to look into our own internal funds to actually deal with this matter instead of actually waiting upon EWCTA. In terms of the bursaries for the employees, we have achieved the target. The graduate program, we have achieved the target. And in terms of the permanent positions, we have achieved the target. However, in terms of the temporary, that is indirect, those that we employ during the construction of the capital projects, we have not, due to the fact that we did not get a sufficient project from the Department of Water and Sanitation. Chair, on the social corporate investments, we have a standing donations or contributions to the society, to the Lotona Lady Public School, Lesedi Daycare Center, Learamela School for Mentally Disturbed, Lehavans for the Disabled. All of these, chairs, they are in our area of operation. Sibigalwana Special School, Tumamo Child Care Center, Liboneng Special School, Bosenyang Elderly Home, Lapalabohle Age Care Center. We have also included some of the pictures where we actually gave out the wheelchairs, the sanitary towels, and we have actually visited the schools in our neighboring areas, that is in Odida Stress, and we have contributed towards their artwork. Chair, we were also required to do tariff consultation, to present the tariff consultation. I will not go into the detail of the process, Chair, as it is known. On the 15th of March each year, the tariffs are approved. However, there is a process in terms of Section 42 of the MFMA which Sedibeng Water has actually undertaken for the tariffs 2018-19 and 2019-20. Chair, we also want to indicate the fact that we have, in terms of Section 42, Road to National Treasury, SALGA and the department, and we have submitted, done the submissions in terms of the requirements, that is by the 25th of January each year, we should actually submit to the department. We have our basis, Chair, the assumptions of the tariff determination. We would want to, based on the tariffs that are embedded in the Water Services Act, Sedibeng Water is required to be self-sufficient and cover all costs from its own revenue. For now, each region is ring-fenced and operated as an independent unit of Sedibeng Water. This assists in making sure that we can pay attention to those areas that are not performing according to the strategy and the principles that have been put aside and the targets. We have an inflation forecast of 5.4 has been taken into account. Okay. We also are saying in summary, the tariffs for the current year have been adjusted. The raw water, we had an increase of 7.2% from the Department of Water and Sanitation. Electricity, we have actually budgeted for 7%, which might be a little bit low, looking at the issues that are emanating now. Maintenance budget has been increased by 7%. The volumes have not been changed for some regions. Employee salary increases have been kept at an average of 8%. The tariff determinations is per the area of operation. We have the Free State, Mahikeng, Namakwa, Pela, and Valgamagere. Chair, if you allow me, I would only present the slide, which is the summary of what has actually taken place. We have the municipality, the date of consultation, the source where we actually abstract water, the tariff for 2018-19, and the proposed tariff 2019-20. In the Free State region, we have increased the tariff by an average of 8%. In Namakwa region, due to the size of the scheme and the volumes that are there, we have increased by 8.5%. In the Namakwa region, we have actually, for Bela, we have increased by 14%. And one needs to look at the numbers, Chair, is 4.83 and 5.25. Commerce and Industry is 8.10 in the previous financial year and 9.3, the proposed tariff. We have also the Valgamagere scheme, where we are also negotiating with the mines. And in this region, we are going to have tariffs for municipalities and mines. They will be determined by industry and by municipality. We have for Joumorolong 10.82, which has not changed from the previous financial year. Gamagere 10.82. Dikgatong 8.49. Tsantsabane 9.47. Commerce and Industry is 8.52 to 15.14. Here, the determination of the tariff is based on how far you are from the pipeline. Therefore, this method would actually fall away in the financial year 2020 and 2021. I'd like to move to the next, the municipal debt. Chair, I will only present this small slide. It is slide number 68. We have a total for the municipal debt of 3.6 billion. And Chair, we want to already put on the table that Machabing last paid us in July 2018, and their bill on an average is 40 million to 50 million a month. Chair, we want to appeal that this is a situation that is putting the organization in a serious predicament of cash flows, liquidity. The Northern Cape, Chair, the total is 686 million that is owed by the Northern Cape municipalities, that is Jomorolong, Dikgatlong, Gamagara, Transvaal. We have the collection rate on the far side, the columns for February 2019, January 2019, and December 2018. We can go beyond that. The last 12 months, the cash flow from these municipalities has been a serious challenge for Sedibeng Water. The IMTT is there, however, we are the problems of the municipalities cannot be solved by the municipalities. That we should look beyond what beyond the municipalities, that look into the fiscus, that is National Treasury, COPTAN is to assist the municipalities with the debt. Chair, I have indicated already that we have done some collection credit management as required by both the PFMA and also the MFMA. I thank you, Chair.
Chair. Thanks, Chair. Chair, in closing, there are observations that one would think must be brought to the attention of the portfolio committee. One is that even though elections are taking place every 5 years, but in average every 30 months we are having some sort of elections, either local government or national government. And as water board, even if we want to put the normal legal restrictions, it becomes very, very difficult. But the general phenomenon of municipalities' non-payment is something that we might want the portfolio committee, together with our ministries, to seriously look into. One of the issues that we'll deal with was the equitable share. As municipalities are assisted about 3 times in a year, we will enter into agreements, sign agreements, but the municipalities at the end, like yesterday, I know equitable shares were paid to most, if not all, the municipalities. They have made commitments, but in practice they don't honor those agreements. That's why you see our years of our days have even gone to the 800 instead of the normal 30 days. I'm not going to talk about the normal things of the aging infrastructure. But one critical thing is we are operating as Citibank in three critical provinces who are semi-rural. But let me isolate Northwest as one of the provinces. Only two of the districts are having the infrastructure to provide water in the entire province. But Ngaka Modiri Molema and Dr. Ruth used to depend mostly on underground water, boreholes and the like. But the challenge that we are having currently, they can't cope with underground water because of the growth of population and all the other aspects. But the last aspect, Chair, is...
Koko, you seem to be submitting.
Pardon, Chair?
You seem to be resubmitting now. You're supposed to be concluding, but you are resubmitting.
Okay, no, the last aspect, Chair, that I wanted to raise is that the Department of Water and Sanitation, one observation was that at one stage it was told that it has overspent about 10 billion of its budget at one stage. But comparatively, COCTA, it came to attention that they have underspent with 10 billion. So what I'm trying to illustrate is Department of Water goes an extra mile to provide both services at the expense of COCTA, because this was supposed to be responsibility of the municipalities. We are bailing out municipalities and COCTA at our expense. That's something that needs to be looked into. Thanks for that, Chair, for the time that we have afforded us. Thanks.
Any concluding remarks, Minister?
Thank you, Chair. The last point is a model problem. I've spoken about it before, and I've made proposals to the effect that this should because our boards across the country are suffering because municipalities themselves, the small municipalities, particularly the rural municipalities, don't have the capacity to manage what we expect them in terms of the model to do. And that is why we're having serious difficulties of payments by municipalities, because they themselves are not getting the kind of revenue that was expected. And if you look at the division of revenue of the country as well, they always get 99% and so on in terms of that division. So I agree. I understand fully what the problems are.
Thanks, Minister. Welcome. Mr. Person, we did get your apology that you are running late. Welcome, Mam Kaula. We did not get any word about you. Members, we have received the two reports from the two respective water boards. They are as we have received them. Ideally, though you would expect members of parliament to be all over, short of saying not systematic. It's in our nature. We can touch and go. However, we do have the issues raised. They are straightforward. The One Water Board has received unqualified reports with some matters of emphasis being explained. That is Water Board. And Citibank did not get, in fact, got a qualified report, to put it bluntly. With all those issues raised, a number of them are quite serious, I must say. Members, I shall allow at this point in time that members raise their issues in the form of questions, in the form of comments. Siltation has having been raised versus a new pipeline that is urgent, for me raises a question as to, you know, it's in the nature of water boards when they identify a problem. There is always an idea of having to come up with something new, also in your municipalities. Instead of fixing what is there, I hear the issues raised about, you know, Water Research Commission and the department having to be sourced in terms of support on the siltation. Whether you cannot, because there you're talking about storage, creation of storage capacity for your water. And then, of course, I do hear you talking about the new pipeline Kharib to Mangaung being the solution. I should really, and of course this is also an issue for your rainwater that they started, but I don't know how far did they go. I'm making reference to the moves that Water Board, Bloom Water Board has come up with insofar as your new renewable energy initiatives. It's commendable, I must say. But rainwater did attempt, but didn't go anywhere. I don't know what happened there. These are some of the concerns that we might wish to raise. I was trying to establish, Minister, the practice before. What could it have been? I'm aware that we were all not there in 1991 when Promoter was established, but governed under your 1997, but you are established in accordance with your 1997 Water Services Act. And before that, what could have been the situation, whether you were an independent, how was the governance issue, having been established in 1991, between 91 and 97, gap, what could it have been a governance model that you were following? We should really take our heads off on the initiatives that Bloom Water has been taking, having to be active in the region, SADC region, and some of the initiatives with Malawi and other respective countries. The deaths are an issue. And the issue has been raised with the department as far back as November 2017. We do hear the IMTT. I'm not sure if we are going to make much progress. The days, the debtors' days have since been increasing exponentially. We seem not to be getting anywhere on this one. Now, I hear what the minister is saying about the new model that should take on board some of those smaller municipalities that do not have capacity. But the reality is that to a point where the question arises as to whether you do go to a point where you have to write off any debt. We did hear a response last week from one of the water boards that talks about that practice not being the case insofar as government, I would imagine, that broadly government is concerned, generally how it operates when it comes to treatment of those long deaths dating to as far as 4 years or so ago. In terms of normal accounting practice, how do those get to be treated? It gets to be an interest on my part. Otherwise, the AGs or any audit firm would always find you wanting on that one. You'll have to forever be having this recurring a liability on your side, on your books. And how do you deal with that at the end, wherein you are to talk about unqualified to a point where you have a clean audit? It's something that we really need to work on. The case in point is Machabeng. You know, you want to establish at some point as to what really could be the causes for such a huge debt, whether we have done any debt analysis of such. I hear you now talking about 40 to 50 million per month. It's quite a hefty one. And having to analyze that, just that current 40 to 50, you know, it becomes quite an interesting story that we might wish to hear about. There is no one here from the Auditor General's office. Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you. If you can also assist us just by way of a comment on your new amended act on the public audit and what it talks to, I would appreciate that, given all the challenges that we have, especially with the CDBM Water Board. Members, I'd really just stop at this point insofar as Water Board, Bloom Water Board is concerned. Mr. Basson, noted your hand, noted Mamu Kaula, and Mr. Dr. Kabine and Mr. Mguna.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've got two questions. The one is concerning with Bloomwater, the pipeline, the Gharib pipeline. Now, I visited a little more than a month ago. I visited Mangaung concerning the water crisis in that area, and I understand from experts that I met there that there are 8 different models of getting more water there. It's not only this Gharib. So I want to request the minister whether the minister would not consider appoint TCTA to do the investigation on which model will be the best and whether it could be financed by the World Bank, giving a big city like Mangaung water via Bloom Water. So, Minister, if you can consider that, I really think the Gharib pipeline is the more expensive one, and according to some of the experts that I met, they were very clear that there are cheaper and better models to follow, and whether the minister will then consider that. Secondly, on the 13th of this month, Bloomwater issued a letter to Mangaung Municipality. They're not honoring the agreement. They now owe the last 3 months 179 million rand. Well, Minister, you have mentioned we have been discussing this on a weekly basis, and it seems that we are not turning this around. It's a lot of money that's been owed to Bloomwater, and it's growing by 50 odd million every month. And it seems, Minister, that even what the municipalities are doing all over the country, and you're exactly saying, I will sign an agreement with you because I'm buying for some time, and I'm just not honoring this agreement, and then do whatever you want to do. Eventually, the communities are suffering. And then we need to ask the question once again, Minister, if a municipality cannot pay the water board, hand over the distribution of water to Bloomwater. If Mangaung can't deal with paying for water that residents have used, which most probably 70-80% of that water maybe has been paid, and that money goes not back to the origin where it should go, it goes into salaries and luxuries within that municipality, then surely, Minister, there's two things. You either cut the water or you hand over the function of collecting that money from that municipality. Otherwise, they will be bankrupt, there will be no water, it's not assisting the communities in South Africa. We know what the situation with Sarah Bank even is. And most of the water boards are struggling because municipalities are not honoring, whilst the communities are honoring, or most communities are honoring paying those accounts. So I know you don't have a solution, Minister, but somewhere along the line, someone's got to draw the line in the sand and say, no more further. This is now how we're going to deal with it. Otherwise, Minister, we are all wasting our time scrutinizing this, discussing this, and like you said, it's a system problem. We can't fix the system. It's going to be in shambles in the next few months. And then we think of load shedding. Load shedding will be nothing if we compare that with water shedding. We will have war, and they said, it's been said, where they say that the next fight, world war, will not be about oil. It will be about water. And in this country, people will kill each other to get water, and it's merely a fact because our municipalities are not honoring payments, and it's bankrupting everybody in the line.
Oh, thanks. I'll start by welcoming the presentations. I've got a few clarification questions that I wanted to raise. I'll start with Bloom Water. I see they've raised the strategic objective. Yeah, I see them very nice. They are saying what is supposed to be done, but I'm puzzled by what I see in the slide. I think it's like 20. If I'm not mistaken. In that slide, it talks about the analysis relating to the audit report per year. So I just wanted to check in terms of the strategic objectives and the slide 20. Can they safely say to us they've achieved the strategic objectives as set in their presentation? That's the first question. And then the second question is with regards to the non-payment by municipalities. Especially Mangawu, as they were saying that Mangawu is their major client. I'm so surprised because in one of the committees, which Mangawu Metro was actually called to come and deliver a report. So I see a contradicting factor here. Mangaung said they are having a strategy. And the strategy that they are having is to install a meter system in order to make a major collection so that they are not owing water. But in this case, I see them all here. So there's a bit a contradiction. I don't know who's talking the right thing here. municipality or is a blue moon? Because the municipality says something else and the promoter is saying something else. So there is a contradiction here. We need to get a clear standing point on the matter as to what is happening. We need a clear answer. Chair, the last question on promoter that I need clarity is with regard to the parrot eradication system that they took. I just wanted to find out whether the department have never owed them anything with regards to that. If there is something else, they must indicate to this portfolio committee. The last one is with regard to irregular expenditure of 1.1 million. They should explain the cause of this expenditure. And the way they are going to address it so that it could not occur again. It's all promo for stock date. Thank you.
Mr. Mguni.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I take this opportunity to greet everyone in here, Minister, and officials and honorable members. This time I don't want people to answer. It's just a greeting. Let me appreciate the two presentations from Bloom and Sadibel, and congratulate Bloom for unqualified auditor outcome. Although I have seen that in this time you have some findings. We have some findings. The previous one you did not have the findings. You're not having findings all along. But this time around we have got findings. Although we are still playing around unqualified. Which you should gather things, you may go down, you may regress if you don't take care of that. That's just a comment. You are one of the board's gloom, but at least your creditor stakes are a bit low, which is appreciated. But we will also recommend and emphasize that you bring them down as they stand at 125 now, 25 days. The reason of the emphasis is based on the economic nature of this issue. You know, when you don't pay people within 30 days, you cripple them in one way or the other. You know, there are so many instances that I have made in other ports when they came here. The issue of transportation, telephone calls calling you, accommodation, and many other things that are crippling those things economically. We will request that you please make sure that you bring those days down. Although you're one of the better. This vesting pipe, there's an indication every time it bursts. What was the... Because you said it's almost 40 years now that it has been put. 45 years. How long was the lifespan of that thing, of that pipe? And then what is the plan? How do we plan? You know, last time when we visited we toured the Netherlands. Their strength is, you know, when the pipe has got a lifespan of 10 years, they made an example, they start preparing in advance to ensure that that pipe is taken before it starts bursting. Take it out and replace it with another one if they or do something else to make sure that that thing does not happen to them. Not waiting for it to burst and then you start repairing because it becomes expensive. Do you have any plan of that measure in your infrastructure? The Section 32 plume of the MFMA, the Municipal My Finance Management Act, which deals with the contestation of payments between yourselves and the municipalities. Did you ever try to use that section? And this one will go to the department. Department, you mooted the idea of an infrastructure agent. What has happened to this initiative? And the second one is the issue of the water tribunal. There was a water tribunal in the department which was dealing with compliance on issues of pollution by stakeholders.
Okay.
How effective is the department in non-compliance mechanism to prosecute this process? On the Sedibeng, you got a qualified report, you know. You know, I'm not also happy. I'm sorry, or the committee is not happy with your creditors' names. You know, yours are abnormal. Very abnormal. When we say 625, yay, Moses two is more than 2 years, 2 years. Just imagine that a service provider has just done the service to you. A person has to wait for more than 2 years to get payment. Most no one is bankrupt. It's already bankrupt. I don't know whether to you it will be a real recommend or which man, go. I don't know which way I can put you. I accept. It's not fine. It's not fine. 2 years to pay a person. Just imagine yourself after a month we don't pay you. Hey, you'll be on the street. I have heard your reasoning behind the debtor's days, which is 881. But the thing is, still, you have to do something. We must have a plan. Lower them. 881. Yeah, from the auditor's report, we have noted the issue of this leadership, the challenges with leadership. You know, sometimes if your leadership is a problem, expect these problems. If you've got a problem in leadership, you don't feel vacant post. There are no consequence management on the senior management. These problems will come. We'll have a problem with financial management or other financial accountability. If you can deal with your leadership strategies and the vacant post being filled, it will be of your advantage. And don't just fill those vacancies. People who have got track record, good managerial skills, should be taken into account. Don't just fill. There's this CIDB advert that they've spoken about. Were there no warnings that were given to you when those issues, that thing was put into advertisement? If they were, what steps did you take? I noted the corporate social investment that you have. I think you have got 13, which is the best. You know, you have got the best one. You've got many. I don't know whether they are only for 2017-2018 or you've just counted others. If they are 2017-2018, no, I give you my hand. That's good. There are so many. We have taken so many, more especially schools, primary schools, and then. It's just that I was a bit concerned because I did not see amounts. How much did you provide? Because they were in a monetary terms, as you have put them. I don't think you are doing it yourself. You're giving them something of a monetary issue. If that can be given to us, even in writing. Then last, part one. You know, there are so many targets that have not been achieved. Some of them have partially been achieved, which is not a good reflection of a of your entity. And there are also the ones that are very, very much that they can boost skills development. If you say that you planned for 80 leadership and you did nothing, none. You're killing the same youth who want to uplift. There are so many, I'm just making but one. So if you put a target, you see, if you say you want to shoot a deer right on into the eye, I think we've got soldiers here. Soldiers, you know that when you go and shoot that one, and if you shoot him, it must be an eye. Even if you have shown that person on an ear, eye, since Bonavasi did not meet the target. The target was the eye, not the ear. Why do you put targets if you don't meet them? Why do you put targets if you don't meet them? See, we will appreciate that you meet those targets. Then as I'm closing, the cost structure. I have seen a disparity between other municipalities or places. You said in other places, more especially on the energy, electricity. Some electricity in 2016, 2017, and 2017, 2018. If I'm not mistaken, yeah. They have gone down, but in others they have gone up. If you can give us, I think I will give you the pages. On page 56, page 60 and 62, there's a disparity. What might be the cause of other places the electricity has gone down, up, and others has gone down? What might be? Did you have any way of making sure that the electricity is provided in other means? Chairperson, my regards.
Sorry.
Ngibonga sihlalo. Kule sifika late sibene nkinga ye transport. No sihlalo la inenkinga mina. Especially if sikhuluma ngesidibingi. And if sikhuluma ngale nkinga yamabhole. Mawuthi uyayibheka ayithinti isidibengi kuphela. Yonke indawo la kunamabhohol khona, mhlawumbe hlezi ngizwa niningizwa ngireport. Uthole ukuthi akhona amabhohol but amanzi awekho. Bengifuna ukwazi mina ukuthi ayikho ni enye indlela. Mhlambe kulaba abazongena next kule term yethu. Ngoba mhlambe engisho, mhlambe ngiyabuya, mhlambe angibuyi, or mhlambe zongasabuyi la kawodwa. Ayikho enye indlela engabhekwa la ukuthi ngeyibhekwa, ngoba uyabona lama not achieve kimina ayangilimaza. Because from ngifike la 2014 sihlalo, lana kule nto yamanzi ayikho nokodwa ongigculisayo. Last week Saturday bengisemzimkhulu. Iy'nkinga chairperson ziyefana. Ngango futhi uzuthi uma sifike kulezo nkinga uthole ukuthi ku-west. Le nto ekugcineni, egcina silimaza thina as a portfolio committee. Ngicela ukucima lucingo manje. Ngicela ukusisha nje. Ngiyaxolisa. Le nto as portfolio committee kwathina isithatha sigcina singamafeyila. Even uminister nangu laphambi kwethu nawe uzoba yifeyila. Singasho ukuthi siyamthemba kodwa still uzoba yifeyila. Ngani? Sinabantu la abaqashiwe abangaphansi la sasithina nakuthi thina sithi nakho yenzani ukuthi nazi nezimali. Uthi usuthi uyofika lapha phansi uthole lezi mali ayizange isebenze, kufike kwathiwa kwaqhondwa kwaqhondwa kadlula. Elami-ke lithi minister, sihlalo wami omuhle, uyabona usaka no-DWP WUS nginenkinga ngabo ngoba ibona kanye angabe senza sure ukuthi lo msebenzi yenzeka. Sizolona ama official sibe no minister, kanti inkinga yilaba bantu abaseduze komasipala. Omasipala mina ngokwami ngibona benganandaba nezinkinga ezithinta abantu, ngabe sikhuluma ngama toilet, ngabe sikhuluma ngamanzi. Yini inkinga? Bathatha le mali ezabelwe bona bayithathe bayidivert bayokwenza izinto zabo. Mhlawumbe uthole ukuthi umasipala ukhipha imali engaka useyokwaqasha abaculi, yabona lezo zinto. Kodwa la ingqalasizinto ayikho. Gcineni leli komiti linjani lifeyilile. Uyabona nje ngikwenzele example laphayana nje e-107 ezimangweni enanda. Kungena ucingo namhlanje sikhuluma ngenye into ngapha. Lama-toilet omgodi bayawamoma, bayaphinda futhi bafaka khona la igcekeni. Lana thina sikhuluma ngani ngempilo zabantu, health. Laba bantu manje bonke baphezu kokuthi bathi bazovala ukuthi abayokhethweni, bazovala ngisho ama-BD. What 1919 kuna very same thing. Namtshela u-minister wami. Minister, yabona into engiyithandayo njengoba sila kule portfolio committee. Akukho ukuthi wiphi i-organization. Inhloso yethu la ukubona abantu bakithi bethola into zabo. Ngibuyele kule yokukhokhelwa kwabantu ngesikhathi. Ngapha kuze kuthiwa 30 days, yabona nesikhathi esibekwa la sibuhlungu. Kunezinye iy'nkontraki ubona zingekho, zigcine sezenza umsebenzi, uthole zihambe ziwushiya nje. Yindlela nazo ey'phathwe ngayo, uthole ukuthi unikeziwe uyasebenza. Ekugcineni ufanele aholelwa akaholelwa. Bayasuka abantu bafuna manje kuzohlasela wena, abazi phela bona ukuthi imali wena oyitholile. Ezinye zey'nkinga esibhekene nazo ezenziwa obani? Omasipala. Kodwa kunakho konke. Umuntu engikhala ngaye ukhokha ngize kusasa nalo DSWS. Labo bantu abafuna ukusebenzisana nathi ngiyaqina manje 5 years akho lutho esilibonayo. Kodwa manje ufika la namareporti la akave mahle. Yini nina ningabatsheni ningasho ukuthi sinenkinga lana kuze kuzanye? Mina ngokwami nje bengithi nje le komiti ma kuzohlala next year, ngabe ngizobuyela kulona, ngabe ngiyabuyela ephalamende. Sengibona sathi mina ngokwami bekuzofuneka ku-amendwe ne-constitution njengoba sikwazi ukuthi amendwe ku-section 25 kulento yomhlaba. Ukuthi khona izinto la omasipala bafuna ukunikaza zona, khona izinto ofuna banganikezwa khona. Ngoba uyabona nje amabhodi njengoba bengakhokhela imali. So hayi ngoba imali ingekho. Ukufeyila kwabo ukuthi bathathe imali efana inikezwa abantu abacabangi nge-infrastructure nomphakathi, bacabangela bona ukuthi kuphela mina benza okunye ukuthi izinto. Ngiyabonga sihlala. And le nto ingiphatha kabi, ngiyawuqeda 5 years. Iy'nkinga engikhale ngazo akhona, instead of that ziba worse. Buhlungu ngoba kungcono ukuba kuye kuthiwa sihlale amakuthiwa ngiyaku-oversight. Kube yithina mhlawumbe ez njengami mamkhawuli zothi no sihlala nawe minister, asike sihambe manje siye kulezi ndawo. Nothi le nto ukuthi siye lana esesitshelwe khona abasikhona ukuthi izinto zakhona zingconywana, hhayi noma zi-right, zingconywana. Ngiyabonga.
Chairperson, my question is, what is the help of boreholes if problems persist despite the usage of boreholes? The problem is not just in Citibank, but in other places as well. I would like to ask if the department realizes that their department has a problem. Is there no means to be employed? Because this notion of no achievement is serious. It's worrying me. In the villages, the problem of water and toilets cuts across, even in schools, is there no change that can be done? In all the 5 years I've been here, I don't see anything that has been done to assist the public. SALGA and DWS have dismally failed. They failed to assist the department. Municipalities get given money to pay water boards, but they do not pay. Is there no way of following this up? Because they have money to pay for entertainment at the expense of infrastructure. For instance, last Saturday I was in Zimkulu, and the situation there is bad. The whole thing sets us for failure. You find that monies are not used properly. I have a problem with SALGA and DWS and the municipalities. In the 5 years that I have been here, I think nothing has been achieved. I am worried because this is taxpayers' money.
Thank you, Mr. Hugo, being the last.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one or two questions. Can the department or maybe assist us in terms of what is the status of the two boards? And then regards to Bloom Water, I think they've got a good initiative in terms of their social responsibility. But my question would be, how many schools did take part in this health and hygiene program, and what was the adjudication process in terms of encouraging more schools and to come up with only the two that was the winners in terms of how many schools participated in the whole area of their jurisdiction in terms of the awareness of hygiene and World Toilet Day? And yeah, thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, you shall realize, Minister, that in the main, the focus has been on Bloom Water. Silibeng would be so tempted to respond, if you don't mind. Just hold on a bit. We deal with the Bloom Water for now.
Thank you, Chair.
Minister?
Yeah. Chair, let me just try to clarify this point of a pipeline from her.
You want to start off, Minister?
Chair, I'm happy with the Chairperson responding. The Chairperson is very hands-on. Thank you. I know that because I communicate a lot. He communicates a lot.
Chair of Bloom Water?
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me explain the issue of pipeline. Years back, almost 10 years ago, there has been some research that were done by different...
Just one quick question. If you can just explain whether is this part of your old asbestos or not.
Yes, I'm coming to that, Chair.
Okay.
So I was just giving you a very small background in terms of where this issue of pipeline actually comes from. There has been a lot of debates and issues of where best can we get water that can sustain Mangaung. Because if you look at that part of the Free State, it's sort of an arid type of a region where there is no rain. Actually, there's very less rainfall. So the source of water, you'd find that you only get it from Caledon River. Caledon River flows between Free State and Lesotho, and then it comes to one of our dams, which is called Velbedaard. The dam itself used to have a capacity of almost 105 million cubic liters. But because it's heavily silted now, it has got about 5 million. So clearly there is no dam anymore. And the water flows straight to Harib Dam, which is the biggest dam in the region. Now, this, when it was mooted, feasibilities were done,
by both the department to say, let's just have a look how best we can actually make sure that we deal with this problem of water in that region. And the feasibility that was done was we found that in terms of any other water source, there is no way that we'd be able to sustain the growth that is taking place in that metro. Because if you know Bloemfontein, it's Bloemfontein, Botshabelo and Tabanchu that constitute a metro. But now they have added other regions like Vetner and Dizestop as part of the metro in itself. So there's a high demand of water. And the only source of water was Caledon River, which unfortunately we do not have a dam, because the Belvedere dam that we used to have has actually been, in fact, it's silted. Now, what we then did as Bloemont, we created a catchment sort of form. That is, we are pumping water from the river itself to a catchment where we'd be able to manage it in such a manner that obviously there is no sand coming in. Now, as a result, we are able then to use that storage to be able to provide water to Manau. But also, we can't sustain that. So the sustainable way of making sure that the region will have water was to have a pipeline that runs from the biggest dam in the country, which is Harib Dam, to supply Bloemfontein, Botshabelo, and Tabanchu. But along the way, there will be takeoffs to other small municipalities that also do not have water. Because if you look at Harib region itself, it does not have water. There are no rivers, there is nothing. So as a result, we'll be able to provide water through that big pipeline that will be coming from Harib Dam. Now, when we were doing that study, the dam itself, in fact, the pipeline itself was going to cost us around $2 billion. But because there were delays, you know, it was moving to and fro. Every time when it's supposed to take off, there's a problem. So the costs have actually moved from $2 billion now to almost $8 billion. In fact, I would have loved to hear the honorable member saying, which are those other five solutions that experts say we can actually have water to provide water to our region. I mean, I would love to hear that, whether there are such, because we involve the universities also to make sure that we look into that to help us to be able to say how best can we make sure that we have sustainable provision of water to Manau. So we found that the pipeline itself is the only means and ways of making sure that for the next 30, 40 years we don't have issues of water in that region. So that is why we have that type of a pipeline that we're envisaging that would actually take place, provided that everybody decides to, you know, look at it. But we still also, in every month or 2 months or 3 months, we make sure that we remind the department that this is what we need to do to avoid what ESCOM is going through now. Now, in the same breath, to address the other question of the pipe test, the very same pipe, which is almost 45 years old now, obviously it has run through its life, takes water from Velbedacht to Mangau. But then to make sure that while we are still dealing with the issue of the pipeline from Harib, we are putting in a parallel pipeline, steel pipe, that goes to our storage so that we are able then in the process, we don't have issues of water. But we still insist that the best and the sustainable way of making sure that there will be water for the rest of, you know, for instance, 40, 30 years, would be if we have a pipeline moving from Harib Dam to that area. So the issue of feasibilities have done, two feasibilities have been completed, and they are all obviously saying that, yes, we need to have that pipeline from Harib to Mangau. And then the pipeline that the department is now assisting or sponsoring is also helping in terms of addressing the old 45-year pipeline that is bursting every time to make sure that there's still supply of water to the region. That is why, because of that pipeline, we also came with an initiative for putting up a workshop that would assist to build a path. Because at one stage, a chair, we'd find that when the pipe breaks, we'd spend $1.5 million just to get something that would put together those. So we felt that that is just too much of the money, and it causes problems also in terms of procurement. As a result, we then decided or came up with an initiative of having a workshop that would also address to make sure that those little connections that break, we are able to build them ourselves without obviously having to procure them. So basically, that is the situation. On the issue of strategic objective that the honourable member has raised that we are not achieving if you look at our analysis matters relating to audit report. I think we are doing that. If you look at that, the objective that we have that says manage financial affairs to meet the current and future obligations, we are adhering to that, Chair. And all what we are saying in this one, which will obviously be explained further in terms of how that irregular expenditure of 1.1 came, which also was as a result of the moratorium that was put in place by the department, that we should not employ or should not do anything. As a result, we ended up having that irregular expenditure, and the detail will be provided by the COO in that regard. And then we've come into the issue of Mangaung, Chair. Mangaung has a problem. They are losing a lot of water. We remember we go as supplying them with bulk, and then they themselves provide to residents. But they also have problems where they can't collect, they can't measure. So as a result, that's why they were saying that they are going to put a meter also to make sure that they're able to know how much water they get and how much they're able to distribute. But the disputes that we are also having with Mangaung, Treasury is here, is part of us. They have been called so many times to come and mediate in the disputes that we have in with Mangaung. So those are the issues that I can address, Chair, and the rest I think I will leave them to the CE and the Chief Financial Officer.
thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the issue of strategic objective has been responded to. However, it is important to understand what happened here. We had an IT company that was outsourced by Blue Motor some years ago to deal with our intranet. And when its term completed, we couldn't send them away. We had to continue dealing with them because we couldn't appoint staff that was going to deal with the IT matters that they were dealing with. Hence, it was regarded as irregular expenditure. And then the question was, how are you going to deal with it? We are dealing with it because we have already appointed. That company was long terminated. And I think we are not going to repeat that. We are not going to have that problem again in the next financial year, because all the systems of IT has been put in place and the personnel has been, and those vacancies have been filled. On the issue of the meters, I think it is important here to say there are meters. There are meters Mangaung. I don't know which meters they were referring to, because there are existing meters that are being observed by both Blue Motor and Mangaung officials on daily basis. So, once again, the honourable member said he is not sure now who is telling the truth. The books, our books show we are being owed, and the outstanding debt that they had due to the meter queries. When they had meter queries, they stopped paying. Then we both agreed that we are going to look for independent assessor of the meters, which ruled on our behalf. Then they started paying. Hence, they had that payment plan because it was long time due. They had finished paying that. When they paid the planned payment, they stopped the current account. That's the problem with Mangaung, and that's the problem why they have now, or they are now owing Blue Motor since December last year. Because when they were dealing with what they stopped paying themselves, they then ignored paying the current account. On the issue of bucket eradication, we are glad to announce that I think we must say thank you very much, Minister, because Minister instructed the department to pay Blue Motor the amount that they owed us on the bucket eradication, and we are grateful we don't have issues with the department anymore. Chairperson has already talked to the issues of main pipeline, and there was a question to say, what plans do you have? Remember, this pipeline is plus minus 106 kilometers to Bloemfontein, and the department has assisted us with 33.7 kilometers of troublesome areas of the pipeline, which is what we call phase one. Hence I said we hope that going forward, because that pipeline is to be fixed, then the department maybe in phase two they will then come back, come in again, if our finances are still the way they are due to non-payment of the municipality. Chairperson, we have exhausted all the intergovernmental relations platforms with the municipality, especially Mangaung. The office of the premier, province as a whole, that is COPTA, MEC of COPTA at provincial level, MEC of finance at provincial level, because she was requested by the MEC, by the National Treasury, to deal with the matters of Blue Water and Mangaung. We have all said more than 5 times, if not more, dealing with the matters of non-payment, and nothing came out of those platforms. Hence now, we are now writing letters to one another, we are now restricting water and so on. I think on the issue of how many schools. Normally we don't do many schools because it's just one day. But then, for example, it was 10 schools for the year under review. And then out of those, then we assess the schools and then see whether they maintained after we have left. And then after that assessment, then they will be number 1, 2, and 3, those that would have won the competition. We are planning to take it forward, but remember, the moment we take many schools at the go, it will mean that it will be more financial implication from our side, because we have to pay the schools that have won. But that's the only way to also stimulate other schools and motivate them to keep their schools as clean as possible and look after their environment. Chairperson, lastly, the issue of one of the honorable members talked about water tribunal. I'm not speaking on behalf of the department, but here, on the matters of environmental transgressors, I think it's very important that we deal with it before we reach a point where we are now talking about another Vaal River. Because if you look at Caledon contamination from Vicksburg down to where we are, it is piling up on each day. And it is done by both citizens of Lesotho and citizens of South Africa. So I think the sooner we maybe enhance that tribunal or water tribunal unit, the better, because we have to prevent that from being contaminated further. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, my chair and my CE knows lots about finance, so I don't have lots to say further. Just to add, for us and the AG, revenue and debtors are material, so they order it to the T, and it gave us an unqualified report. And I'm just flagging that the municipality, specifically Mangaung, has a tendency to talk things and not show the proof. So the same goes for them. They must, from their own audits, substantiate what they're saying. Their water losses are 40% upwards. We need to find money to pay for extra infrastructure. If they could do that, our infrastructure demand could decline. The CE mentioned about the investigation that was held 18 months ago. The meters are calibrated, so it's not a wish what the amount of water goes through that meter. It's calibrated. And then they read with us jointly on a monthly basis, specifically Mangaung. So if they make statements, they must substantiate it. Ours is substantiated in our financials. Just on the processes, the Mangaung debtors profile, it's now more than 2 years on the go. We've submitted MFMA Section 44 request 2 years ago, last year again, and on the 21st of February this year, there was a mediation process at National Treasury. And the Treasury also had a recovery plan discussion just before the mediation process with us. So we were guided by National Treasury in accordance with the ability of the municipality to
pay the arrears and interest, etc. Now that was settled, and it included the drought tariff as well. It was directed back to the regulator to determine the drought tariffs going forward, etc. That was now held the 7th of March. But sorry for my pun, Chair, that was a major balls up because the municipality suddenly wanted to go back to 2011, where the settlement was up to January this year. So the municipality comes up with ways to try, and that suits them. Use variables, arguments that suits them. So we're back at National Treasury if this is not resolved. So, but as the Chair has indicated, we've followed so many processes, local in the province as well as in terms of legislation, but it seems to be not yielding the desired results. We've implemented what was mediated, but suddenly the municipality turns around again. So we still sit with the challenge. Thank you, Chair.
Kuta? Covered. We covered. Mr. Pazan? Noted.
Chairperson, just one. I will forward you documentation on this, discuss it afterwards. Just one question, Chairperson. In a previous meeting we had with Bluewater, we discussed the issue of Jagersfontein. Can maybe get an update on that Jagersfontein problem?
What is much more interesting to hear the answers here. It is unfortunate part that we are going. We are not whether we'll be coming back or not, but it's unfortunate that we are going. But to me it's more interesting that we must have these municipalities, especially among them, so that we must interrogate with them and get exactly what is the problem in as far as payment is concerned. Because it tells you that municipalities are good at complying rather than doing things. It actually is a problem in all the municipalities, I believe. They do comply, but they don't do things according to the books. So that is a problem.
on the Harib Dam and also on the quality of water, I thought you would go further and talk about, because you also spoke something about the state of affairs of your rivers. I thought you would go further and talk about the blue drop and green drop reports. And secondly, on your Harib to Mangaung pipeline, you have now spoken about a figure of 8 billion rand. Where is that coming from, that budget? Are you going on capital markets? Is the government department coming on board? And where are the bottlenecks, if I were to ask that question? I hear you talk about, on a lighter note, being proud about the 560 temporary jobs. But of course, also my consistent interest is more about black business promotion. Equally important are the jobs, but equally that black business promotion. You are involved in your infrastructure build, and clearly there's lots and lots of money that people make out of your
your or those infrastructure projects. I did hear Citibank making reference to that, but I did not hear much of Bloomwater making any such reference, unless I missed. I think those would be the. Oh yeah, the last one. Granted, you are involved in your energy generation that is from your renewable. I would have also thought, given all the challenges that you are having, innovation and partnerships as you pursue your day-to-day work, they also become quite important from where I'm seated. If there are any such outside of your energy sources that you are currently having. Thank you.
Chair, would you allow me just one more bite, please? Okay. I just forgot. I just want to find out your water that comes from Valdedag to your plant. What is the losses between Valdedag and Bloomwater at the moment? How much water do you lose? Because the last figure I heard was you give more or less half of what is released. That gives an indication there's a problem with the pipeline. And then secondly, if Mangaung's got a 40% water loss and you even add whatever is needed in that area, let's just make, I just want to make a calculation. Let's say you add another 20 megalitres per day or 50 megalitres per day, and they've got a water loss of 40%. We will lose another 40% of that 50 megalitres. So the solution is surely investing in that municipality to stop the water leakages. Because whatever you just add on this side, you will lose, on their side you will lose, and at the end of the day you will never supply enough water because they are losing that water, and we need to restrict the losses of water within those municipalities because it's putting a financial burden on the water boards to give more water while that water just goes down the drain. And that needs to be rectified. I don't know what model you will be able to use because COCTA is also not coming to the party to assist in that. And now surely that is not your problem, but eventually it becomes a capacity problem within your water board because of water losses that's not being fixed on the other side.
The point raised by Mr. Pason, Minister. On one hand, it could be of interest to quantify that 40% so that we get the real figure. But most importantly, Minister, what I wanted to make reference to, when we went to Rustenburg, we met with the mining houses. That was 2016? 2017. And Madibeng and Machakaneng municipalities were all there, raising all sorts of concerns, among others, the fact that they don't have water. The serious water loss is about 37%, if I'm not mistaken. 70%. At the end, the call was about having, you know, new plants being built. And what the mining houses were prepared to do, I would imagine still is the case. There's a report to that effect. They are not prepared to give money. They are not even prepared to come up with any new plants. Rather, save on what you lose. That's what they are prepared to do. Plug in engineers, and they even have some boreholes for that matter. Now, that's the partnership I'm making reference to. The unfortunate part is that we did not follow up on that as a department. Department did not follow up. Dr. Ntili was in charge of that process. We spoke to Mahalis Water for them to also make a follow-up on that. Because it is in the best interest of municipalities and also the department itself. I mean, if you were to be thinking about it, the 40% loss, rather than coming up, if you like, with your Mahalis to Mangaung pipeline of 8 billion rands. How much more water can you provide out of your saved water of that 40%? Your private sector also would be saying they can even put up some technology that detects such leakages, so that you are aware, you are in a position, therefore, to save on that wastewater, non-revenue water. Perhaps our modelling should really be thinking differently, as if you like low-hanging fruit, saving water, whilst you're still thinking about getting new pipes. Yes, the pipes are old, asbestos. You call them aging, I call them aged. Because it's there now. Aging is still in a process. As we speak now, it's old, it's aged. So those are the kinds of things that we've been interacting with. On again, talking about partnership. You want to respond?
Yes, thanks. I think the colleagues should also assist me here. On the issue of the estimates that we are making, obviously at that particular time when we were talking about 2 billion, we were looking, for instance, a distance and how much would obviously be. So those were the estimates. Until the feasibility is done and completed and all bills are done, we would not know the exact amount. But if you look at the current trend, for instance, how and escalations, you'll see that it will ultimately get to that. And and if we don't obviously start now, and the more we delay, the more it gets expensive, if we don't obviously deal with it. That's the reason why we are there. And then if you look at the current one way, for instance, you spend 600 million for almost 30 kilometers, and you'd see that it actually gets there. And the pipe might slightly be bigger than, for instance, the one that we have, because then you are running also through Harib and supplying other municipalities in the process as we are doing so. So those are the rough estimates. But the more we delay, the more obviously it becomes much more expensive. And the losses, of course, that have been mentioned are very minimum on our side. We lose around probably 10 from where we get water until it gets to a destination. It differs, it ranges from 10 to 12, 13 and so on, but not really much of water that we really lose that side. So the issue of jobs that were created, colleagues could help there.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, my name is Tamang Gubeda. I'm the Executive Engineering Project. Chair, in terms of the jobs that we have created with the smaller project that we are running in the financial year 17-18, the 560 jobs, we will take note that our capex is very, very, very small project. And yes, Chair, your concern was to look into the black economic development in terms of the your service providers that we've brought into the infrastructure development program. And you're right, because in terms of one of our targets, we are looking at the appointment. Most of the appointments that were done on those infrastructure projects, including this 500 million, is a black-owned company. And many of the address the black economic empowerment, looking into those that had not been previously advantaged in getting the bigger chunk of the infrastructure or the capital projects as we roll out our closure. As projects are still being implemented, yes, the number, the target we estimated to have achieved over 700 jobs, but because of the smaller projects that we have been implementing, we couldn't reach that, but it's a work in progress. As we said, the projects are cutting across multi-year projects, so we will forever be trying to strive to reach the highest number possible in terms of job creation and also in making sure that we increase those opportunities in terms of bringing the black-owned companies in the mainstream economy. Also, to qualify also on the cost of the Gariep pipeline, as the chairperson has alluded to, you'll remember, Chair, that the Gariep pipeline stretches 180 kilometers from the Gariep dam into the city. And there were further studies that were done since 2014 from all angles. You have the Mangaung Metro, which the Honorable Basson referred to. You had Bluewater that did the feasibility. You had the department itself that did the feasibility. And all those studies were combined together, consolidated, to arrive at the correct or approximately correct estimate in terms of the 8 billion construction, which kept on since 2014 moving. It was 2 billion, it moved to 5 billion, it's now estimated at 8 billion. And you will remember that by building this pipeline, it's not only the pipeline itself, there will be a number of also pump stations and takeoffs to other municipalities. So we look at the holistic cost of bringing the water into the mainstream Mangaung Metro and the surrounding areas. Yes, it's close to 8 billion rand and maybe rising. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think all the questions have been addressed. However, the one for water losses assisting municipalities in general with water losses, we are more than ready and prepared to do so. However, it must be noted that for us to zoom into assisting municipalities with water losses, we need infrastructure information. For example, we have requested that for the past 2 years with Kopanong, because it is registering very high amount of water losses. We, in all the meetings that we have had, even in writing, we have requested that they furnish Bluewater with information where we can now go and assist, because it is within their infrastructure. But that's the kind of information that you will never get. Well, on the issue of Jagersfontein, Honorable Basson, it's a sad story. It's still the way you left it. Remember, at the moment, we are operating under 30% restrictions. So those high areas of Jagersfontein are not getting enough water, because the 30% is not enough to, I'm told it's a topographic issue. So as long as this matter of us not being paid by the municipality still stands, it's going to be I don't know how far we are going to go with it, because at the moment, you would remember that some of the associations of the community have gone to court to demand to be serviced by Bluewater. And we are saying we are not going to get involved, because that is the mandate of municipality. So they should first talk to the municipality, agree, or then they have opted to go to court, and we don't know how the court is going to rule on that matter. Thank you very much.
Water quality. Thanks, Chair. In terms of the water quality, you recall, Chair, that Bluewater is all the entities we subscribe to Blue Drop, which has been changed to IRIS now. It's integrated regulatory information system. It's a platform where you publish your water quality results on monthly basis. We upload on the system. It's managed and it's regulated by Department of Water and Sanitation under the regulation department, where it's very clear that whatever results are out there for public scrutiny. We participate in that program, and annually, as it used to be with Blue Drop, we will have now the independent assessment that will be done to the entity looking looking at those results that have been uploaded and also the evidence in terms of your lab analysis by independent service provider that would be appointed by the department to analyze critically and come up with a clear score and award to say if Blue Motor says it has achieved 99.9% of compliance in terms of the water quality.